This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy.
At last I feel your arms around me. It's been so long. 10,000 miles stood between us over that phone. All through that year I thought about you each day and night. Across those miles without you holding on tight. To this moment you're here. Anticipation. The year is over now. So many times the world seemed crazy. So many times the sky was hazy. 100 billion stars were born and gone. Across the deserts and the seas, in the stillness, in the breeze, I kept holding on to be in your arms again. To be in your arms again, yeah. Remember the last goodbye you waved me there at the gate. 10,000 miles we knew would separate us. Wearing that bracelet that you gave me, our names intertwined. Colors and threads around my wrist as I left you behind. Until this moment, you're here now. Anticipation. The year is over now. So many times the world seemed crazy. So many times was hazy. 100 billion stars were born and gone. Across the deserts and the seas, in the stillness, in the breeze, I kept holding on to be in your arms again. How long is it? It. In time or tides, how many messages, how many sunrises? You saw the dawn first, I saw the moon last. 100 billion stars were born that year. So many times the world seemed crazy. So many times the sky was hazy. 100 billion stars were born and gone. Across the deserts and the seas, in the stillness, in the breeze, I kept holding on to be in your arms again. Again, 100 billion stars.
Are you here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine?
Now, what that song you played before the sponsorship announcements? What was it? It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was 100 billion stars.
Yes,
it was, and it was Nathan Lay, and yeah, from a new CD that's been with a lot of songs written by Ruth Picker. And guess who we have in the studio today?
Who do we have in the studio?
That was very opportune, David. You segued very well there. We've got Ruth Picker in the studio with us. Ruth is a songwriter from Melbourne here. And you, and as we said, you just released a new CD called Kintsugi.
Yes.
I hope I said that right, but if yes, I didn't, I'm sure you're correct. Welcome to the show, Ruth.
Thank you so much. Thank you, David and Neil, for having me on. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Now, we had you on a couple of years ago now.
That's right,
when yes, you released your first album, which is it's called The Song Tailors. is like the collective of people. Is
that's
that right?
Correct. Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so you're using all different singers throughout your album.
Different singers, yes. Yep. So the Song Tailors is a creative project that I created.
Yep.
It's mutually beneficial. I'm the songwriter, but I can't sing. So it's a platform for artists to be heard. And this latest one has many different artists and singers on it, right. And also many different musicians playing the instruments.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now give us your background. You know, like, where did the music influence come from?
Well, it's a really good question because I'm not sure. But
did you study music?
I studied music after school, you know, I guess like lots of kids did when they went to school. I had classical piano lessons, but from about age 13 only, I actually taught myself to play. I asked my parents for a piano and they said, we can't afford one. And so I found a friend who had a piano and I taught myself to play on her piano. My mum said, oh, you can play. And so I had classical piano lessons for a few years.
Right. That's pretty, you know, like, you must have been very serious about wanting to learn if you would do, you know, like, just learn by yourself, by ear, or were you trying to read the music
by
as well?
By ear. I played by ear. From the beginning. And so when I went to have music lessons, the first teacher actually described me as unteachable and recommended another teacher who would be able to teach me and probably work with the kind of child that I was at the time.
Right, okay.
Yeah, she was a great teacher.
Right, and but you're in your career, you totally moved away from music. Was it always in the background? Was it always there for you?
Yes, so... the musical gene, I believe, comes from, as far as I know, from my father's side. My grandfather was a violinist. He was a refugee. He escaped with only his violin, which I now have, but we never heard him play.
Yeah.
My father, my late dad, for whom I wrote the song Gliding, which is also on this album, he played the harmonica. And he was the finalist in the Stars of Tomorrow competition in Cape Town in 1938.
Wow.
At age 16.
Yeah.
But then he stopped playing, and that's in the lyrics to Gliding. And so we never really heard him play. So, but there was always music playing in the house. My dad always had music playing. So I grew up with a broad range of influences. And he would play everything from classical to jazz to pop to rock, everything. Mm. So, yeah.
And what pushed you? You know, what your motivation? You know, like, because you've got a real career outside of music. Why did you just keep on, you know, sticking with your music and going to, you know, like, a second album? You know, like, people would think if it's you know, just a hobby that you would just do one album and that would be it. But now a second album.
Well, I came back to songwriting. So I became an accountant. And we left South Africa and I wanted a career that was transportable, and accounting was. And it's been a fabulous career and it's enabled me to travel around the world and to work in different places and to meet lots of different people. But what it did do was it stopped the music, because
of course it
was so, yep. It is relentless. Yeah. The work is relentless. It's nonstop. And so for 30 years, more than 30 years, I didn't play the piano. I did nothing. I stopped writing. I forgot how to play. I forgot how to read music. I forgot everything. So the catalyst for coming back, which is part of the reason why the album is called Kintsugi, the catalyst for coming back to the music was a series of personal tragedies. And just something happened in me and the music just came back. And I remembered all the old songs that I'd written and I scored them, I wrote them down and started to write new material.
Right. So when did that happen?
2013, 2014.
Right, okay. So only a few years ago.
Four years, five years ago. Yep. Yes, yes.
Okay. And what does songwriting do for you? What's the feeling you get from songwriting?
It's something I don't really understand. People ask, you know, where does the song come from?
Yeah.
How do you write it? What's the feeling you get? That a song for me comes from a feeling. There's some emotion that inspires it. And for me, the melody and the words come together. For me, a good song, I write the two together. I don't need to be at an instrument, so I write a lot up in the air.
Oh, okay.
On a plane.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back to the piano as soon as I can and then work it out around, work the chords out around the piano. Yep.
And what do you find the easiest, the music or the lyrics?
Both.
Both?
Both come together.
Okay.
So 100 Billion Stars, that was just played, that's a song about how long is a year, and it's about being apart from someone for a year.
Yeah.
And I read somewhere that in the universe, 100 billion stars are born and die each year.
Wow.
In the universe.
Wow.
So that's the length of a year. So okay. That's how you could measure a year.
Right.
You could measure it. The lyrics go in time or tides. How many messages do you send in a year?
Yeah.
But 100 billion stars are born and die in the universe every year. And that inspired that song, just that reading about that.
Yeah. Now, that the voice, he yep. has got an amazing voice. Who was singing it?
So that is Nathan Lay.
Right. And yeah, is he a musical theatre voice? It sounds very musical theatre.
He's a trained opera singer.
Okay.
He's an acclaimed and award-winning opera singer. He won a scholarship to study overseas in Wales. And he's now singing with the Ten Tenors.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So how do you find the singers?
In many different ways. They're all quite a unique stories to how I found them. My producer, James Kempster from Rock Candy Productions.
And now what a wonderful character
yeah,
he is. Isn't
yeah.
he just delightful?
Yeah.
I've come across him in so many, well, it's all musical theatre
yes.
usually, and such so passionate, isn't he?
Yes. Well, James and I are a team. I
right,
mean,
brilliant.
He's been absolutely amazing. When I first looked for someone to produce the songs right in the very beginning. I was asked by my cousin to produce a song for his wife who had passed away, and that was part of the Kintsugi story. And I couldn't give my cousin his wife back, but I thought I could give him a song.
Aww.
And I thought, well, I'll produce the song, but I had no idea how to do it. And so I Googled record producers in Melbourne, and James was the only one who replied to my email. No one else replied.
Okay.
In fact, a couple did reply, but a few months later.
Right. Wow.
But James said, yeah, I can do it. And he came up with the idea and the concept of how about we engage singers and we do this as something that is mutually beneficial for everybody involved.
Yeah.
So we work very closely as a team. He manages the project. He sources a number of the singers, a couple I found myself.
Yeah.
We're a great team. I'm really lucky to work with him.
I just want to ask you also, Ruth, about when you said about the lyrics and the song and the music, when you're writing a lyric, do you have an idea of what the music that is going to go with that lyric, or does that all come together after you've written the lyrics?
It comes together. That's why I say it's quite weird, because I don't really understand how it happens. So when I'm in creative mode, and if you think about my job, which is not creative in that way at all, it's you know, it's strategic and it's dealing with quite difficult, very structured issues as well. When I'm in creative mode, it just happens. It just comes.
Okay.
And a song for me, that it either happens or it doesn't. And I've written, I wouldn't say 100 songs, but close to 100 songs.
Yep.
But, you know, I would go to James and present a number to them, and he'd go, reject, 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 reject. Yes, tick, that one's good.
Okay.
So they happen. And usually the good songs are the ones that just happen really quickly.
All right, let's play another one.
We're going to play one called Beautiful Day for Flying. Did you want to have a bit of a talk about that now, or should we talk about it after we listen to it all?
I reckon talk about it now.
Yeah.
Well, where did that song come from and who sings it?
So Beautiful Day for Flying, I wrote for my son who loves to fly.
Right.
And I have to fly a lot for my job. And he would always beg me when he was younger to take him with me. And, of course, I couldn't take him with. And on the day that I wrote the song, when I got onto the plane, the captain said, "It's a beautiful day for flying. It's a beautiful day to go flying," he said. And I remember that I'd left our son sleeping, as I was driving in the taxi to the airport, the sun was rising, and the captain said, "It's a beautiful day to go flying," and it just triggered leaving my son behind, missing him, but also reassuring him that I would be home soon. And so I literally wrote the song on the plane.
Wow.
On the plane, and once I landed, I found a piano somewhere. I can't remember where it was, but I found the piano somewhere and I got it down. And I remember when I presented that song to James, I said to him, "This song I am sure of."
Right. Yeah. And who sings it?
The song is sung by Miller de Villiers, who was in your studio last Friday.
Uh-huh.
And she was on the youth show last night on Alex's show.
Yep.
And Miller, I found on Instagram.
Really?
I found her on Instagram, yeah. She was singing covers on Instagram.
So where does she live?
She lives in Southern California, outside of LA.
Right.
She's only 12 years old.
Oh, gosh.
And we went to LA to record her.
Yeah.
So this song is recorded in LA, but mixed and produced by James here in Melbourne.
And what's it called again?
Beautiful Day for Flying.
It's a beautiful day for flying. Saw the sunrise this morning. You still sleeping. Angel face soft and warm. How can the air be so still when I'm missing you? Ground, I whisper to you goodbye. Need to go, have to fly. Open the air again. Know how you love it up there. And I would take you if I could. beautiful day for flying. A beautiful day for flying. Ooh, ooh. A beautiful day for flying. A beautiful day for flying.
Joy. Are you here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine? And we're talking to Ruth Picker, who's a songwriter here in Melbourne. And we just actually heard one of Ruth's songs, Beautiful Day for Flying. And as you said to us, Ruth, it was a Miller de Villiers as a 12-year-old?
That's correct. That's
just, yes. From the US?
From the US, yes.
Wow. I just can't believe that was the voice of a 12-year-old, firstly. And so how did you actually come across... Well, how did you get in touch with her? I mean, had you heard some of her works before? Or?
Well, we were trying to figure out, because she was out here in Melbourne for the launch. We can't remember who found each other first, but we found each other on Instagram. And I heard her singing a snippet of an Etta James song, I Would Rather Go Blind. She was singing that. And I could not believe, at the time she was 11, I could not believe that a child could sing Etta James with such soul.
Yeah.
And I listened to her voice and I just put a comment there saying, beautifully done, so soulful. And she replied and she said something like, oh, really? I think I should be a pop kid or something like that. And I said, no, Miller, I think you should just be yourself. And we started this really positive relationship online without ever meeting each other. And then one day I put up a post and she said, you're a person I would like to meet one day. And I said, we will, Miller, it's in the stars. And at the time I had no idea that we actually would meet. But a couple of months later, she said, what would you like me to cover? Because Instagram singers do that. They say, what song should I cover?
Yep.
And I said, I think you could do Gliding. And she did. She covered Gliding. And she posted it. And I sent it to James. And I said, what do you think? And he said, it's great. It's great. We should put it up. And so she responded to me and I responded to her. And then when we flew across to LA, we were both so excited. Mm. We couldn't wait. We had this hashtag, the suspense is killing me, all the time. We couldn't wait to meet each other.
Brilliant.
And when we actually did meet, and meeting her and her family was so wonderful, and we got on so well. And then James came over to LA and we recorded her in West Hollywood. It was just a crazy weekend.
Mm.
And then she came here now this week to launch the album and she had a crazy week here. Yeah, so it's been a joyful experience, actually.
Brilliant. And now you mentioned, you just touched on it, the title of the album.
Yes.
What's it called again?
It's called Kintsugi.
What's that?
So Kintsugi is the Japanese art of embracing damage. So in Japan, when a ceramic vase is broken, instead of throwing it away, the artist repairs it with gold. And the object is said to be more beautiful with its visible lines showing through than it was before it was broken. So it's not only a physical art, but it's also a philosophy of saying, embrace the damage in your life. You are beautiful with your scars. They make you more beautiful because you've embraced that. And for me, it was really helpful. And I learned about it from a young friend of mine. And she said to me, you know, Ruth, your story of returning to songwriting is a Kintsugi story.
Yep.
She said, it's the way you embrace the damage in your life. And I found that really helpful because... there'd been a lot of sadness and a lot of friends and family had passed away and I'd been very ill myself. And but mainly I was feeling sad because I had lost people in my life and I was trying to cope with that. And I think that's what made the music come back again. Mm-hmm. And many people have their own Kintsugi story, but this was mine.
Yep. How many singers are on the album?
Six singers altogether.
Right, okay. And how can we find copies of this? Because you've actually produced it yourself, haven't you?
Yes. So this is all independent. Yep. The Song Tailors is my project. I'm the executive producer, which means I fund the entire project myself. Online via iTunes,
yep,
or other online platforms. Those who would still like to get physical CDs, they're also available through our website.
And what's the website?
The website is www.thesongtailors.com.
Yep.
We're also on Facebook and on Instagram at The Song Tailors. And all the links to the music are on our Facebook page and on our Instagram page.
Right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, David.
Now, we're going to go out with one other song from the album, from a different singer again. Who's this singer?
So this is Lachlan Geraghty. And the song that he sings on the album is called Play Me Like a Violin.
Right. And what's the inspiration behind this one? This is the... You mentioned about this one before, didn't you?
This one isn't actually about my grandfather's violin. That one inspired the song called Belong, which was about a sense of belonging. But this one is about people who you're up and down with in your life.
Okay.
I think the song says it all, really.
All right.
And Lachlan was someone that I heard on a talent show on television, and I noticed him, and I thought he had a really beautiful emotion in his voice.
Mm.
And so we had him on the album, and he played at the launch, which you came along to. Right. Thank you so much.
No pleasure. No, thank you for the amazing music. So what's this one called again?
Play Me Like a Violin.
And what's the name of the album?
The album is called Kintsugi by The Song Tailors.
Right, okay.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Ruth, thank you so much for coming in.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Play me like a violin, deal me like a deck of cards. Every time I see your game, still every time I fall so hard. Strum me like an old guitar, reveal my soul with all its scars. So smoothly croon, so gently, then pluck the strings and make them jar. What makes you irresistible? What makes me indefensible? I become a child again, easily swayed. Though my mind sees through your charm, I'm being played. I bend and bow, I bend and bow, and that is how you play me like a violin. I bend and bow. A puppeteer, dangle promises just out of reach. Test me, tease me, blame me, please me. Tie my heart and twist my speech. Choose your words to make me tear. Scraps of hurt thrown on the beach. With abandon and so cavalier, fragile shells break piece by piece. What makes you irresistible? What makes me indefensible? I become a child again, easily swayed. Though my mind sees through your charm, I'm being played. I bend and bow, I bend and bow, and that is how you play me like a violin. How play me like a violin.
with everyone. How many still come back for more? I can see who you're chasing now. You idolize him and adore. When your need for him is done, he'll be stranded on the floor. Like all the rest that came before. Like all the rest that came before. I bend and bow. How you play me like a violin. I bend and bow, and that is how you play me like a violin.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.